are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Hey, what a privilege this morning to have a very special guest with us, guest plural, with us this morning. Pastor Chadwick Mohan and his wife Sumi. Joining us today from Chennai, India. He's the pastor of a little small church, 40,000 members there in Chennai, and is the lead pastor of the English service. He's also involved with multiple organizations, Vision 2020 Network, Project Rescue with India, closely associated with Build International, Antioch School of Church Planning and Leadership Development, One Hope, Oral Roberts University, and Empowered 21 in the USA. He is a busy, busy guy. He's a good man, got a great word for us this morning. Please welcome Pastor Mohan as he comes to minister this morning. You blessed us this morning, brother. Thank you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of Jesus? If you are, would you shout a big hallelujah? I just want to thank Pastor for giving me this wonderful opportunity. And I want to thank Brother Sam for introducing me to Pastor. And I bring greetings from New Life Assemblies of God Church, Chennai, India. And let's get in the Word of God this morning. I want you to turn your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 down to 11. Ecclesiastes and chapter 2, verses 4 down to 11. Here is King Solomon, one of the greatest guys on the face of the earth, who'd accomplished much, much, much in life. And after he had amassed great wealth, and after he had built cities and palaces, and forged many peace treaties with great nations, he sits down to reflect on his life. And comes to this grand big conclusion. And that's where we're going to start this morning. Are you ready? I don't like to preach alone. And I love to involve people while I'm preaching. Is that fine? Is that okay? Okay, that means I want you to interact with me. I want you to talk back to me. And I want you to read the scriptures. I believe that the scriptures have power. And power to change your life and change your destiny forever. If you believe that, we shout a big hallelujah. Let's read Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, verses 4 down to 11. I undertook great projects. Is that the only sentence out there? Can we just read together? Come on, everybody. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and other slaves were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. So I want you to lift up your left hand, everybody, and say, hey, nothing. Come on, everyone say, nothing was gained under the sun. On the other hand, you see Paul talking to his son Timothy and telling his son Timothy, Timothy, will you convey this to the church in Ephesus? They have something to gain in this entire world. And he says in 1 Timothy and chapter 6 and verse 6, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Nothing gained on the face of the earth versus godliness with
Contentment is great gain. And this morning, I want to talk to you as a church because the Spirit of God is speaking to Calvary Church and reminding them, just as how Paul was reminding his son Timothy and saying, Timothy, will you remind the church in Ephesus that there is great gain to be gained in this earth? Because if we go the other way around, nothing is gained. Only a chasing after the wind. Everything is meaningless. And so this morning I want you to come along with me as Paul instructs his son Timothy to tell the church in Ephesus. I want to take you through seven important statements that Paul makes. And I want you to grasp about how we as people, as we go through life, as we go through this life's journey, as we build our families, as we pursue the things of this world, as we go on with life, hey, if we would come at the end of our lives and come to this grand big conclusion, hey, this is meaningless. This is just chasing after the wind. And that's a pretty sad life that you and I are called to live. But on the other hand, you and I have been called to live a life pursuing great gain. Can we shout this out? Great gain. And nothing gained. Your left hand, everybody. Nothing gained. Or great gain. The first thing that Paul instructs Timothy, and he says, hey, you got to realize, and I need to realize, that we bring nothing into this world and we take nothing out of it. We bring nothing into this world. We take nothing out of this. Hey, this is the bracket of our lives. The opening bracket is I bring nothing. The closing bracket of my life is I take nothing out of this world. I come from a large church and we have a department that has not been disclosed to outside world. But internally we call it the hatching, matching and dispatching department. You would have recognized what this is all about. Hey, we have mothers giving birth to child and we as a church go and pray for them. And I've actually been at a place in the hospital where mothers have given birth to newborn babies and we carry them in our hands to pray. And this is my little thing that I do. I try to open those tiny fingers out of this baby's hands. Nothing. They bring nothing into this world. Nothing. One of the things early on in my life that radically changed my life forever was the funeral of an old mother. She passed away. We're searching for her relatives to inform. And then we find out that she has a son who's in Canada. And I call him. And I say, your mother has passed away. Would you want us to bury you? Would you come? He said, yes, I'm coming. We waited for 2 days and he is not arriving. The third day, I call him again, and he says, Pastor, I'm looking for cheap tickets. I was really so mad at this guy, but I was just holding back. And he came and arrived after the third or the fourth day, and we said, hey, as soon as you arrive in the airport, we're going to bring you straight to the cemetery because we need to bury your mom. And he came in, and as I was about to close the coffin box, I asked if anyone wants to come and see. And he came around, and while he came, he just broke down and he cried. And I thought, man, what a fool I am. I judged him wrong. But what he did changed my life forever. He bent down and he unscrewed the diamond studded earring from that old mother. Looked into my eyes, and I can't forget that face forever. He looked into my eyes and said, Pastor, now you may bury. People are not going to let anything on you when you go away from this world. That's why Alexander the Great, he said, when you bury me, put my hands outside. Let the whole world know that Alexander the Great conquered many nations. Had horses and horsemen. He had done great exploits in this world. But when he leaves this world, he takes nothing. He takes nothing. There was an interview with Rockefeller Sr., Asit's manager, when he passed away. I went and asked him, how much did Rockefeller Sr. leave behind? He said, everything, sir. Everything. We bring nothing into this world. We take nothing out of this. And this is our life. And every day when you get up, every time you process, this is the opening and the closing bracket by which we live. But this morning you say, Pastor, I fully understand that we bring nothing into this world and we take nothing out of it. But what about life in between? It's costly. Fuel is costly. My housing is costly. If I have the son, send my sons and daughters into a good school, education is costly. Food is costly. Travel is costly. And therefore, I got to do something. I need to pursue the wealth of this world. I need to make money. I got to do something in this world in order to take care of the expenses between my life and death. I do understand that I bring nothing, I take nothing. But in between, life is costly. Paul is telling his son Timothy, tell the church in Ephesus. And this morning, the Spirit of God is telling Calvary that everything in between, life and death, has been granted by our Father, a good, good Father. Come on, everyone, turn to someone and say, a good, good Father who provides us with everything. Come on, everyone, say everything. Everything. And sometimes we believe, hey, our father in heaven is like an earthly father. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he does not. Sometimes he gives us reasons. No. This heavenly Father, who's a good, good Father, is a Father who's rich. And he's a Father who provides us with everything. Not just my wants, just not my needs, everything for my enjoyment. If you didn't believe that, read what Paul is telling his son Timothy to tell the church in Ephesus. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Can we all read it together? Everybody, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who, come on everyone, can we shout this out, who richly provides us with what? Everything for our enjoyment. We have a Jehovah Jireh. Would we depend on him? Would we lift up our hands towards him and say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Come on, everyone. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We bring nothing. We take nothing out of this world. But in between, he provides everything for our enjoyment. Number three. Hey, that is the world that we live in. And the system of this world is so messed up. And you know what's this philosophy in the system of the world? The philosophy in the system of this world is that, hey, it's all about haves and have-nots. Okay, everyone with your left hand, say haves. Right hand, have-nots. And that's the value system of the world. I have this, and I do not have this. It's about things. Hey, that person has a Benz car. I do not have it. That person lives in that part of a school district, and therefore the value of his housing is this. But I live in this part of this county, and the value is this. And therefore I begin to value others based on what they have and what they don't have. Even that is fine. But the greatest challenge with life is that we begin to value ourselves based on what others have and others do not have. But this morning, the Spirit of God is talking to Calvary Church and telling them, hey, that's a messed up value system. That's not the way you got to be living, because wealth is so uncertain. Turn to someone and say, wealth is so uncertain. And this value system based on haves and have nots is so messed up that it messes up your value system. No, you are valued by your Father in heaven. Oh, you are not dependent on what you have and what you don't have. You're valued because you have a Father who loves you just the way you are, who cares for you, who treasures you. You are a treasured possession. You are a treasured possession. You are God's craftsmanship, valued, doubly bought, doubly valued. I was in London in 2016 preaching at a conference. Finished up, wrapped it up, paid up the
hotel bills, paid up the air travel. I went back home with 200 pounds in my pocket. I was tired and I wanted to sleep a little while so that I can go and exchange the 200 pounds that I had received after all my payments. And 1 pound was 96 rupees. Okay, 1 pound was 96 rupees, Indian money. And so, hey, I said, hey, somewhere around 18 or few rupees I have. And I just slept. Well, while I was sleeping, something happened in the world. And you've heard of Brexit, right? You know what's Brexit? Brexit is that Britain left the European Union. If I had something to do with it, I would have said, hey, stop it. I'll sleep, get up. Or even if I knew what was going to happen, I would have not slept. I would have gone and changed that money. But while I was sleeping, someone decided to leave European Union. And it messed up the whole system. Because when I got up with that 200 pounds in my hands, I had lost 4,500 rupees already. Because the value of exchange changed. Wealth is so uncertain. Turn to someone and say, wealth is so uncertain.
Hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to Calvary this morning. This is what Paul told his son Timothy to tell the church in Ephesus. Tell the church in Ephesus, you know, pursuit of wealth and riches is disastrous. It's disastrous. Read with me 1 Timothy and chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
Those who want, come on everyone reading, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with what? Many griefs. Just not griefs. Many griefs.
I've seen this in church. Joined in as the 46th staff on New Life Assemblies of God. 20 years have gone by. I've seen people come forward and say, Pastor, please pray that we would have a job. We pray God grants them a job. They're on the first rows worshiping God, pumping themselves up. And then after the job comes, fourth row. They say, Pastor, I just need to get married. Would you please pray? Marriage happens. Sixth row. Pastor, we don't have a child. My wife has a problem. Oh, my husband has a problem. We pray. I need to take care of my child. I'm the last row out there. They graduate from one status in life to another. And slowly, they are not to be found in church. I'm not talking about church attendance this morning. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about commitments. I'm talking about, hey, pursuit of this wealth of this world entangles you with many things of this world. We borrow, we make sure that we mortgage, and we really want to make life comfortable here on this earth, and making sure that life is comfortable here on this earth entangles you with much more of work without us realizing. It's becoming disastrous. It has brought in many griefs. And therefore Paul says, hey, you know what? While we live in this earth, while we live for our living in life, hey, we bring nothing, we take nothing. But in between everything, our rich Father provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And therefore, don't get messed up with the system of this world and the value systems of this world. Because wealth is so uncertain. But you got to be careful, because if you would pursue wealth, it can be disastrous. Therefore, hit contentment. Contentment. And contentment is a learned behavior. You got to perceive your, to pursue it. Because contentment is not something that at the end of the service that I can bring you forward, lay my hands and my legs on you, push you down and slay you in the spirit and say, hey, receive contentment. No, contentment is a learned behavior. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul talks to the Philippian church. This church has been a partner with him in ministry and has not been pursuing that partnership in the financial contributions to him. I've forgotten him for a while, but now they have renewed their interest. And he says, listen, guys, whether you give or don't give, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. And that is what Christ Jesus wants for us in our lives. Now, what is contentment? Contentment is simplifying life. Life is complex. It's complicated, whether you like it or not. Oh, life throws us curveballs. We, in the most difficult situation, have even more bunches of difficulties that come to us. Life is complex. We got to learn to simplify life. Turn to someone and say, simplify, and hit contentment. Hit contentment. I said, we bring nothing, we take nothing. In between, He, Jehovah Jireh, richly provides everything for our enjoyment. I don't get messed up with the system of this world, the value system of the world, and I don't pursue after the riches of this world, but I hit contentment. But on the other hand, the kingdom of God, is of great value. You and I need to realize and recognize the kingdom of God, on the other hand, is of great value. Jesus, whenever he spoke about the kingdom, he speaks of it as if it's of great, great value. Let's pursue one or two metaphors of the kingdom that Jesus speaks in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13, and you go down to verses 44 down to 46. And let's read this together. Jesus says this. The kingdom of heaven, can we all read it together? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. He could actually give up on every other field to get this one field. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. He goes on to talk about a pearl merchant. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and what he bought in. And this kingdom is something that you can actually give up on everything. Sometimes I've preached about the kingdom. I've taught about the kingdom. But it doesn't enter the hearts of people. And I pray just as how I pray for our church back in Chennai, that God would open up your hearts and that revelation of the kingdom would be dropped down deep into it. Because no amount of teaching, no amount of forceful penetration of this concept of the kingdom can ever take root in the hearts of people unless the Father in heaven opens this revelation down in your hearts. I believe that this church has caught a glimpse of it. The kingdom of God. And you say, hey, what is this kingdom? What is this kingdom? In simple, simple terms, listen to this. The kingdom of this world is about things. The kingdom of God is about people. 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 That brings me to the seventh most important thing that I want to share. Would we radically reprioritize our lives? Would we radically reprioritize our lives to pursue the kingdom of God? In other words, would we radically reprioritize our lives to build people? We had to do that somewhere on the lines. We were growing to be one of the largest churches.
At one point of time, God began to speak to her heart and say, hey, just building a large church, just building a mega church. No, that's a good pursuit. But sometimes while you pursue what is something seemingly good, that's not really get down to the real things. It's not about numbers. It's not about the big buildings. No, it's not about how famous you are. It's not about how many Facebook likes you have. It's not about, hey, how many people follow you on Instagram. No. It's about your relationships with people. What you do with them. Because church is a community of disciples of Christ. And this community of disciples of Christ work because of relationship. Because this is the mission of the Father in heaven. He has set apart a people for himself for all eternity. And the reason he set apart a people, and the reason he set apart Calvary this morning, is that there would be a dynamic relationship with the Father. Religion does not help. Religion called Christianity does not help. I come from a country where religion is multifaceted. Religion called Christianity is not the hope for India. Religion called Christianity is not a hope for the world. No, it's this dynamic relationship with the Father. He's calling us to be his people. And that we would collaborate with him, that we will partner with him. This is a privilege. Missions is a privilege. Where he's inviting the church, a set apart people for himself for all eternity, to cooperate and collaborate with him, to set apart more people, more communities for himself for all eternity. And he's saying, hey, would you do something about your time? Because 24/7 is a great equalizer. You have it. People of the world have it. Everybody has it. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Would you actually lay down all the three T's of your life? Life is made of these three T's. Your time, your treasure, which is your money, your resources, and your talents. The gifts, abilities, and skills with which your gift mix with which God created you. With a set of good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. Would you radically reprioritize your time, your treasure, your talents in order to build his kingdom? I want to read a few verses this morning and come to a close. Luke and chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Jesus is talking to the people and his disciples, and he says, for whoever wants to save, come on, can we read it together? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit their very self? I go back to Paul talking to his son Timothy, who is placed in Ephesus, and he's telling the church in Ephesus in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. Can we all read it together, everyone? Command those who are rich. And when you read this word rich, we think, hey, somebody else. When we think of rich, I want to define who rich are. Rich are people who actually can eat morning, afternoon, and evening. And have some short changes that are lying down. Some quarters here on the table there. Hey, those are the rich. When you think of rich, you're always thinking of billionaires and super rich. No, the world defines rich as people who have three meals a day, who have a shelter to go into and sleep the night, and have some short changes that are left behind here and there in your house. You are rich. And listen to this carefully. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do what? Come on, preach to one another. Say, command them. So what do you do? Do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is what? Truly life. Take hold of life that is truly life.
You're saying, Pastor, but
too many people. What should I go and do? What about the millions? What about another country? Listen, there was a young guy who was actually on the shores of a beach with a lot of starfishes that were washed away. He was picking one starfish at a time and he threw it into the ocean. There was an elderly man who was walking by and he said, "Hey guy, what are you doing? There are millions of starfishes washed ashore. What are you going to do about them?" The small young lad did not speak a word, but he bent down, took one more starfish in his hand, and he flung it deep into the ocean and he said, "Sir, I do not know about the millions of starfishes that are washed ashore, but I know I made a difference between life and death for this one starfish." And that's what God is expecting of Calvary Church. What would you do about that one? That neighbor with whom you share the driveway. Hey, that neighbor who's a colleague who sits next to you in your offices. Would you do something about them? And that's what Christ is talking about when he is talking about, hey, pursue the kingdom. You will have a great gain. You will greatly gain. Your life will be meaningful. You would have purposes that would change the destiny and the destination of many. It begins with that one. Would you do something about it this morning? We bring nothing, we take nothing. In between, he provides us with everything. Don't entangle yourself with the messed up value system of this world and do not pursue the riches. Hit contentment. Simplify life. Embrace and have God drop down in your heart a real, real grasp of the kingdom. It's about people. It's not about things. It's about people. And would you, as a community, rally yourself around and say, "God, we want to radically reprioritize our life and living so that we pursue your kingdom. We collaborate with you to set apart more people for yourself, for your all eternity. And you will change lives, destiny, and destination of people."
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.